This to the lowdown. Is the lowdown. Hour number two of the lowdown begins now.
All right, we got Thursday night football tonight, beginning here at 5 o'clock. Dallas and Washington, we'll get into a preview of that here in just a little bit. Sports Illustrated had a profile up. Is Peyton Manning going to return to football? What front office positions make the most sense for him? I thought it was an interesting conversation because we heard, will Peyton want to be involved in football? And a number of organizations have kind of come up in the past. And I'm wondering if the one that makes the most sense, at least in my eyes, would be the one that he would take. We'll talk about that here at the bottom of this hour. We've made jokes pretty much all day long, pretty much all week long, about the University of Tennessee. Well, they have a new target. First, let's check in with Tom Savage.
Oh, I don't think we have time.
Press conference. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Tom. It's Tom Savage right there in his Monday Night Football.
I got a follow-up for Tom. Tom, he's gone.
He gone. That's going to be one of my favorite things ever. University of Tennessee, who are they targeting now? This name actually makes sense. And why this guy wasn't higher on their list, I have no idea. Maybe that tells you all you need to know about University of Tennessee football. And then at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, 1 hour from right now, Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert for the Fantasy Football Hour. I know a lot of people are getting antsy here because we're headed into the stretch where teams got to win to make the playoffs. He's going to be with us at 2 o'clock, and we will help you get your fantasy roster set. If you have questions, save them till right around 1:55, 2 o'clock helps. 1:55, 2 o'clock. Start texting your questions in and listen closely because sometimes we'll take three or four different questions and combine them into one. But Nate is real good on getting all the key stuff answered. So that's 1 hour from now. Thank you again to everybody who has downloaded the KHTK app. Go to your app store on your mobile device or your tablet, whatever it may be, wherever you like to listen to us from. Download the new KHTK app. Never miss a show. You can even listen on demand. If you miss Nate Lundy at 2 o'clock, no problem. You can catch him at 3:30. Just make sure you catch him before the game starts tonight. You can get all your fantasy football stuff all set up. Dallas and Washington, two teams, believe it or not, Jason, they got the same record, but they sure get a whole lot of different levels of attention. It's funny, you know, you look at Washington, few fans probably realize Washington has played pretty well for the most part. They've been decimated by injuries. But when you realize the best team in the entire NFL is in the NFC East, the Giants are probably the biggest disappointment in the NFL. They're in the NFC East. And then, of course, Jerry and his band of Cowboys are always going to command a ton of attention. Washington, what they have been doing has been pretty much forgotten through the whole year.
Yeah, and they have a lot of quality wins. It feels like their record is better than it is, but I think the injuries have caught up to them.
14 starters.
That's too much.
That have been, including Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
They have so many key guys at every position. You know, their entire offensive line has been beat up. Jamison Crowder has been beat up. But they've just been a team, I think, because of that conference and how polarizing each of those individual stories have become. Washington. Oh, Kirk Cousins. Oh, right.
They bring up Cousins. I can't remember how far back it was. It would have been about 2 or 3 weeks ago when Cousins was on one of the primetime games and watching that. And he was telling the broadcast crew that he felt he was having his best year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I feel that, but I look at the stats and I go, well, the numbers are good, but it feels like he's been better.
I think we've seen him throw for more. I don't feel like we've had that moment where it's like, oh, man, Kirk Cousins just threw for like 450.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's done that this year. I think we said this yesterday. It doesn't look like he's going to hit like that 4,500, 5,000, you know, marker that he was flirting with last year and that we know that he's capable of. But he's been consistent.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to do at the quarterback position unless you're one of the great ones. And I think he's a really good quarterback. But, again, they've just been so beat up because of injuries.
Yeah, and Dallas, on the same side of things, has had a few things that have gone against them, some self-inflicted and others injuries. And, you know, whether it's Sean Lee, which is very significant.
Which is the statistics regarding Sean Lee in the Dallas Cowboy defense is astonishing.
Right.
It's like they die.
Because we look at Zeke and say, that's it. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, some of it, mm-hmm. some. Or Smith being hurt at O-line for a little bit. Yeah, some of it. You add it all up. But, I mean, I think it's just been for years the Cowboys are different with Sean Lee on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And since you brought up the Cowboys, the last team to go four games without scoring 10 points was the 2003 New York Giants. That can be matched tonight.
Wow.
They have not scored 10 points since Ezekiel Elliott has started serving his suspension. They've scored a combined 22 points over the last 12 quarters, which is, you know, roughly 7 points per game. The game is in Dallas. I don't think home field matters in Dallas at all. But Kirk Cousins, it definitely doesn't matter. Kirk Cousins' last two starts in Dallas, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 600 yards.
Wow.
He's not fazed by Jerry World.
No.
In the slightest. So here's a question as we get going here, looking at tonight's game that we'll have for you beginning at 5 o'clock. Is Jason Garrett coaching for his job tonight? Let me rephrase that. Is Jason Garrett coaching for his job moving forward?
I don't think so, because I feel like there's been other times where I've questioned it more than I do now. And Jerry seems to have been really loyal to him. I know there's critics of Jason Garrett that just say, well, it's Jerry running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Garrett has to allow that and be okay with that, and I think he is to some extent, so I think that also keeps a little job security. I don't feel that way, but you're the Cowboy fan, and closer to it, you feel like he is?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, I hadn't heard it anywhere. Doesn't mean it's not out there or brimming.
There's only one person that matters that you hear it from, and he'll have no problem telling you.
Yeah.
He loves microphones in front of his faces. He loves to talk about anything you want to ask him about. But there's a lot of things to take into consideration here, Jason, when looking at this, because it's really easy to say, well, Ezekiel Elliott is missing. That's the problem. The first game, which I think was Atlanta, we saw them get decimated by that defensive line. Like, I think 8 sacks on the game.
Yeah, and 6 for the one guy that's in for Smith. Yeah,
right. And so it was like, well, no, it's not Zeke. It's Tyron Smith. Okay, well, Tyron Smith makes his way back. And let me throw a couple of things at you here, Jason. Ezekiel Elliott threw 8 games, 97.9 rushing yards per game. That's about 4.1 yards per carry. He turned 24% of his rushing attempts into first downs. Okay, that was the 8 games with Ezekiel Elliott. Over the past 3 games, the duo of Alfred Morris and Rod Smith have averaged 82 rushing yards per game, 4.3 yards per carry, and they have turned roughly 23% of their runs into first downs.
Hmm.
That is not dramatically different. It's 14 less rushing yards, 15 less rushing yards. More yards per carry, roughly the same percentage of first downs. From weeks 1 through 9, Dallas averaged 2.58 points per possession, best rate in football. Since week 10, when Ezekiel Elliott went out, the Cowboys have averaged 0.71 points per drive. That is the worst scoring rate over the last 3 weeks. They literally went from the best scoring team in the NFL per possession to the worst. So what is the issue here? We know Chargers game, Zach Martin went out. That's a huge loss. He's back this week. Okay, so Zach Martin is back. Tyron Smith is back. What's the issue here with the Dallas Cowboys?
Well,
I'm posing this question knowing you're not going to know the answer.
And I feel like it's all that you need. Here's a good case of where you feel like you need all the pieces, because I don't think it is one thing, but Zeke is very important to their offense. I think that opens up things for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott needs to be protected. That's why you need all the offensive linemen. Then when they're going into situations, another part you've talked about is I think they've gone away from the running game too many times. So now you're putting more pressure on the pass game. A lot of guys are doing single coverage or making Dez Bryant try to create separation. he isn't that guy anymore, doesn't seem to be. So now who is your number one weapon you're throwing to? I just think it's all of it added up that if Zeke were there with a healthy line, it all is part of the puzzle piece, and you're taking a few pieces away, and it just won't be complete.
It's interesting that you brought that up. I was looking at a bunch of advanced stats, trying to like pick apart what might be the main issue here. You talked about Dak there in Dez Bryant. The long ball has been completely ineffective for either Dez, Terrence Williams, Jason Witten barely has a pulse out there on the football field anymore, and that's not to any fault of his own. It's just he doesn't get the targets like he used to. And that's part of it. But again, where's the cause and effect? Is Dak just not sharp? Is that the problem? Is Dez not sharp? Is the whole wide receiving core not sharp? Does he not have the time that he used to have? Like, they can't connect down the field anymore. His yards per pass is a fraction of what it was through really not necessarily through the first 10 weeks of this season, but really going into last season. It's just his ability to get the ball downfield. It's just a fraction of what it was before. On the other side of the ball, the Cowboys have gone two consecutive games without getting a sack.
Wow.
Now, this is a team who in the last three games, they have just one sack, which that's three games without Ezekiel Elliott. Does Ezekiel Elliott rush the quarterback?
Nope. That shouldn't factor that, but was Sean Lee out one of those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean Lee was out.
I mean, not that he gets the set, but it just changes the complexion of the defense.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, with the way that DeMarcus Lawrence was playing, I think their last sack was against Matt Ryan. DeMarcus Lawrence sacked Matt Ryan like in the second quarter.
Okay.
That was the last time they've recorded a sack.
And even if I go back to that Atlanta game, if I remember right, didn't they take the opening drive down and score? I know they scored first. 7-0. I'm like, okay, first game without Zeke.
Seems so long ago, yeah. Jason. I can't remember this offense.
Chargers picked him apart this last week. Yeah. I told you when Zeke was out, you thought it would be trouble. I didn't think it would be. I thought they'd be okay, but I misplayed that one.
After I didn't buy into it being trouble after the Falcons game. I still didn't. I was like, no, Falcons needed it. I thought they would be competitive against Philly. Not because I think they're as good as Philly, but because I think division matchups are sometimes unique. They're division matchups, right? That's what they are. They can get interesting. And I thought they'd beat San Diego. Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Whoever they are.
Right.
The Bulls.
Especially Thanksgiving at home. Cowboys usually pretty good there on that day.
I thought they'd beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't buy in that there's really a problem with them. No, I'm not really sure that there is. They've kind of been inconsistent. Even when, they didn't make the most of Zeke's time on the field. They had already lost three games when Zeke was there. And that right there sets you up for trouble when he's out. Your best offensive player, you're going to lose him for six games. Well, you went 5-3 when he was there.
Right.
What are you going to do without him? I don't think they're going to go 0-for. I mean, they're 0-for-3. I don't know that they're going to beat Washington. They got New York next week. The Giants. They got the New York Giants next week. Is it the Raiders after that? It's Sunday
Night
Football?
Maybe a couple weeks later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
But loser tonight is done, right? The winner might already be out anyway.
Well,
losers out, right?
I mean, yeah, losers out.
For sure.
For sure.
Winners, not like you're in great shape, but you're still alive.
Yeah, statistically, you're still alive. I think if Washington beats the Cowboys tonight, Philadelphia clinches a playoff spot tonight.
Yes.
And if, regardless of what happens tonight, if Philadelphia wins on Sunday, they clinch a playoff spot just the same.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, they actually clinch the division.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because losers, 5-7. Winner would go to 6-6. It takes some work. Because now what Carolina's done, Atlanta, New Orleans, Vikings, Rams, Seattle. There's just too many teams in the way.
And I'll go back to something that Tony Dungy was saying on Thanksgiving, after the Chargers game.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't panic. Here's what you could do, and he lays out running the table is very probable for the Cowboys. And I love Tony Dungy, and I'm listening to him, and he lays out a scenario that makes complete sense. Well, you can beat Washington, you could beat this team, you could beat that team. And all I was thinking of is this team has scored 22 points in three games. What have you seen in the last three games that makes you believe they could beat anybody?
Right.
Could this team right now beat Cleveland? Like, who could this team beat with the way that they're playing?
Yeah, that's where if Tony Dungy's saying that you'd like to see in those previous three games, like close calls, narrow losses, if this happened, they weren't in really those situations. And they're not scoring, like you said. They're not in a chance to win.
And here's their biggest problem. Hell, here's their biggest problem for at least the next 2 weeks. Going back to Atlanta, okay, we know what that defensive line did to Dak Prescott that day. Okay, then you have Philadelphia, very, very good defense. San Diego, a deadly defense. Okay, well, they have Washington, who's better than middle of the tier right now. I think 14th overall, 13th overall. Again, top half defensive ratings in both passing and rushing. So you're going to have some issues there. So you've gone against good defenses now for what will be a fourth week. You can say whatever you want to about the New York Giants. And Ben McAdoo, they have the defensive pieces there. Whether those guys feel like playing football next Sunday, I have no idea if they're going to feel like playing football. But if they decided they want to tee off against an old defensive rival, they have the ability to do it.
Right.
And so that's where their biggest – I think that's where their biggest problem comes in. One of their biggest problems in terms of trying to establish their offense that has been dead for three straight weeks is you're going against good defenses. You're going against better than average defenses as you have for the last 3 weeks and as you're going to for the next two.
Yeah, and it's just now it's put where I'm impressed. I've been impressed with Dak, but you just put so much more on him to not only score with these other teams, to carry an offense that doesn't have a lot of great individual players. I mean, I think Zeke is, but he's not there. And kind of going back to Dez and their other receivers, Dez isn't that elite prime receiver anymore to me.
Lots of – whoa, really?
Do you think so? Top five? Top ten?
You know what? I don't know why he's not. Like, is he slower? Is his route running different? Like, why all of a sudden is he not?
I just don't.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just when you said
what changed?
Yeah, like, why? Why is Dez Bryant – like, where would Dez Bryant be drafted? Or if we redid our preseason rankings.
Put all the receivers out there, where does he rank?
Where would Dez Bryant be?
And, you know, this would be a great question for, like, cornerbacks and defensive backs. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like he's feared. I don't. I mean, I feel like there's other guys that
– But don't you think he still gets the other team's best cornerback on him?
Oh, for sure. Because there's not another great option.
But I guess it's not going to be Terrence Williams. There's a lot of text here. Garrett should have been fired when he was using running back Felix Jones like he was a power back and Marion Barber like a finesse back. He's a very overrated offensive mind, lacks creativity, and what he's doing is predictable. I never understood the way he used Felix Jones. I found that so bizarre. Why do you guys keep talking football? America is done with the NFL. Look at the ratings. Dear God. Look, this guy thinks of – that was me that added the dear God. That wasn't in the text. Sorry, that was just me reacting to the text. Where is Dez Bryant in all this? Did you text that?
Yeah.
I think Jason may have –
it's a little bit like Amari, where Amari gets enough of the targets, just not the results. I think I'm just looking at 103 targets is a ton. He caught 53. They're not all drops. There's some – it's not connecting.
Robert, thanks for holding, man. How are you?
How are you?
Excellent.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, you guys are talking about the Cowboys and stuff, and I really think, you know, that they have become so, you know, run-centric as far as that goes. I don't really struggle except for the lack of the running game. And, you know, I mean, as far as their defense goes, I mean, they're not getting the pass rush and that thing. But, you know, back when they had DeMarco Murray, when he ran for 1,800 yards or whatever, the Cowboys were taking 12 less defensive snaps per game. You know, and I mean, that's huge. That's, you know, three and outs, you know, four, three and outs, actually. So, I think they need that running game. They have to have it. And as far as Dez's production, maybe he's become a little idle because, you know, the emergence of, you know, Dak and Cole Beasley and, you know, the fact that they do run the ball so much, you know, I mean, you know, maybe just, you know, doesn't feel like it's really his team as far as that. I mean, it's kind of gone to Zeke and Dak.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Robert, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call, and thank you so much for listening. Antonio, what's happening, my man?
Hey, you said Tony Jundy was talking about the Cowboys running the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Tony Jundy said. When he made that reference about running the table, he was talking about the Green Bay Packers, not the Cowboys.
No, I think he said this on Thanksgiving night, man, after the Cowboys game. I'm pretty confident that's what he said. He laid out the schedule and said how it was – they're all – he used the term winnable games for them because he was noting how they play Philadelphia in the final week and how Philadelphia will almost certainly have the division clinched up at that time, which they will, and they could possibly have the number one seed in the entire conference clinched up by that time and how a number of their guys might not be playing. He was definitely talking about the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night. On Thanksgiving night.
And I was listening to him.
Okay, Antonio. Well, maybe I'm making the entire thing up.
Maybe Sunday night after the Green Bay game.
Maybe Tony Dungy wants every team to run in the NFL to run the table. But that's the point of the season. And Antonio, we appreciate you calling, man. Thank you. I'm confident of what I heard on Thursday night on Thanksgiving night. The Packers did not play on.
No, and that's why maybe he said it also Sunday. Who knows?
Well, and that's kind of the point in the season we're at with these 5-6 teams. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Packers.
Yep.
The 5-6.
Yeah, all those teams have to do that.
We're at the stage of the season where if those 5-6 teams want to make the playoffs, guess what they're doing?
Yeah.
You got to run. You got to go Aaron Rodgers on them. Yep. Well, maybe we just got to win the rest of our games.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't remember what was going on with the Packers. I feel like the Packers were coming off a number of losses when and they were 4-6, I think, when he said that.
Last year?
They won the last six straight.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
I'm not confident in the Cowboys. I'm not confident in Washington. I can't think of a team other than an Aaron Rodgers-led Packers team that I would think be able to run the table here at this point.
Chargers?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so the Chargers, the Chargers could, yes, that's fair. That might be a team I buy in. But here's the cool thing: the Chargers don't have to.
You're right.
Kansas City's made it easy
for
them.
Not only left the door open a little bit, they just kicked the door down, and it's like, hey, who wants in?
Like, I mean, and how are you feeling right now as an Oakland Raider fan?
Right.
Knowing you've got a team that appears to be in total disarray in the New York Giants, you got them this week, and you have the ability to catch Kansas City, which seemed unthinkable
right
a few weeks back. Same with San Diego. San Diego, we had San Diego finished.
Yep.
It's like, okay, we can write them out. Denver probably, but here's what the Raiders need to do. Kansas City, they're out of reach. Life comes at you pretty fast.
Yes, it does.
And here we are, man. So we're at that might be a division, J. Ross. I'm trying to think of. I mean, you look at Baltimore. Baltimore is in it. Mm-hmm. All of these teams with these 5-6 records, they're in it. No one, I think, though, is in a better position than the team you mentioned, the Chargers. That division is in the best position because of how badly, you know, Atlanta and Carolina are playing really well. New Orleans is playing incredible. Minnesota looks like they'll have a hold on that division there. I think Los Angeles Rams are in a pretty comfortable spot to have their division. It's just the AFC West where it's like, oh, what are we going to do here?
And what a difference if you get in as a division winner. I mean, right? You're hosting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have home field all the way through, but you're hosting that first weekend. That's a big difference than just kind of – you could have a better record as a wild card team. But, yeah, it's wide open for the Chargers, for the Raiders, for Kansas City.
Text line does not like Dak. Dez. The text line does not like Dez at all. Have I mentioned how intriguing the Seattle-Philly matchup is? Let's discuss. Who do you think that's from? Yeah, Marty, that is a pretty damn good game. I think we'll probably save that one for tomorrow. We can't talk about everything today, Marty. We'll come back and let's stick with the NFL here for just a little bit. I read something on Sports Illustrated about Peyton Manning. Could he be returning to the NFL in a front office position? If so, where? We got that coming up. We'll continue to read these texts. You can keep those phone calls coming as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Oh, man. I love the degenerate gambling members of our audience. We got this text here at 44-1140. Don't sweat it. Dallas will win tonight. Made biggest bet on them. Plus, for the year, they've had a full week off. Washington, only 3 days. I had to remind our dear friend of the lowdown that Washington also played on Thanksgiving.
This is why I like this Thursday. I mean, it's even. I mean, as far as the time off, because usually there is an advantage on Thursday night for a team, but not this case.
I can't read what he wrote back.
Yeah.
But he did write, keep your fingers crossed for me. Which we will.
All right.
We root for all our gambling friends out there. And if you're a fantasy football player, you might want to join us at 2 o'clock, just about 30 minutes from now. Nate Lundy, host of the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour, and our fantasy football expert will be with us at 2 o'clock. We talk about teams getting hot. Got a couple of text messages right here, which is absolutely true. And remember, unlike other sports, the NFL, you just have to get hot at the right time. The Raiders are capable of getting hot right now. Could be true. Here's a remaining schedule, Jason. They got the Giants this weekend, as everybody knows. Then they got the Chiefs. Obviously, that's incredibly important. Then they got the Cowboys. No Ezekiel Elliott for the Raiders. Who knows what they're going to get there. That's Oakland. That's Sunday night. They have Philly after that. That's
Christmas Day.
That's week 16. Yes, it's Christmas Day. And, again, who knows where Philly will be at that point.
Right.
Right? They could be complete. We could be talking about three quarters. We could be talking about a half. We could be talking about four quarters. Who knows? And then they end the season against the San Diego. God almighty. The Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes.
Can we just call them San Diego and let them play in L.A.?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's like San Francisco and Santa Clara, sort
that's
of.
True.
I mean, it's only like 45 minutes longer.
Yeah. I don't see that as an easy schedule, though. Do you?
No, I don't at all.
Oh, okay.
They have to win this week,
right?
But is there a situation where let's and I hate to do this to Raider fans, so I apologize. Let's assume that they beat the Giants, which they absolutely better beat this version of the New York Giants. Could they conceivably go 2-2 if they beat Kansas City and Los Angeles? They're very capable.
Yeah,
don't
that be enough?
Yeah, they're capable of beating the Cowboys. And if I were to bet right now, which I don't, I think they'll beat the Cowboys. But the Eagles, I don't even know on a. I don't.
Yeah, the problem is, you'd have to have the Chiefs go, 2-3? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're one win ahead. We're assuming the Raiders are beating them. Yeah.
Chargers have the Browns this weekend. So I would argue both of these teams have games that they're supposed to win.
Though the Chargers lost to them last year. But
Okay, all the more reason that it can't happen again. Then they have Washington. That game is in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets, which is in New York. And then, of course, they close out with the Raiders.
Wow. I think the Chargers are in decent position.
I'd argue they're in the exact same position. The two teams are in the exact same position.
Yeah.
They both have to play Kansas City, and then week 17, they go against each other.
Have Philly. I don't think they have a really difficult other game.
That's true. All right. That's fair. I'd argue Washington is tough. They're not Philly tough.
No, and it's not in Philly. Is that Washington? That's in
Los Angeles. It's in Los Angeles, but that New York game is in New York.
Yeah.
It's a 10 a.m. game in New York.
Yeah.
339-1140-1-800-920-1140. Greg, thanks for the call, my man.
What's up, guys? Long time no talk.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to call in again. I just wanted to say, I hear you guys talk about the Raiders, and obviously, you know, if Cooper can come back healthy and Crabtree comes back after his one suspension, I think, you know, they get the blessing that they have the Giants this week and Geno Smith leading the way. So I think that kind of is, you know, that couldn't have happened at a better time for the Raiders. And sure, this team can get hot, but I think more importantly than the Raiders' remaining games, it's going to be the Chargers and the Chiefs' remaining schedule and how difficult their schedule is going to be. Because when those two teams are playing good, I mean, the Chiefs are playing terrible right now, but when they're playing good, they're almost unbeatable. And the Chargers are proving that when their offense is right, that they can be a team to reckon with as well. So I think Raider fans, more important than looking at their remaining schedule, because they have those two head-to-head games, I think they need to look at the Chiefs and the Chargers remaining scheduled to really determine if their hot streak's even going to matter, because, you know, they can get hot, but if those other two teams get hot, then they're dead in the water. They have no chance, and, you know, they don't have a snowball chance in hell to make the playoffs, regardless of how good they do if those other two teams figure it out.
We appreciate you, Greg. Thank you for that. I can't tell you how funny it was to hear Greg say Geno Smith leading the way.
I know.
That is just phenomenal. Well, obviously the Chiefs have the Chargers and the Raiders coming up. Their other three games, Jets in New York, Dolphins at home, and the Broncos in Denver.
Yep, and they got the game lead.
Ugh. That's the easiest of the three?
Probably.
I mean, should be. I'm sorry. That should be
who
the
knows
easiest.
Them. Yeah.
But look at these. But again, a lot like Dallas. What have you seen lately from Kansas City that if you're a Raider fan or a Los Angeles Charger fan that you're like, huh, I'm worried about them.
Yeah, they just lost to the Giants 2 weeks ago at home.
You were worried about them 6 weeks ago.
Right.
Right now you're looking at them like, oh, they're going to blow it.
Yeah, keep imploding.
I mean, I look at the Dolphins and go, oh, they're a terrible offense. Look at the Broncos and go, oh, my gosh, they're terrible offensively. By the way, the Chiefs are freaking awful right now on offense. Mm-hmm. Then they was it 12-9?
Yep.
They lost the game 12-9. Nick, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. I just want to know if you guys are talking Raider talk in playoffs because you guys are trying to kill time. You know, honestly, I look at this team and, you know, do you guys really see this team being a legitimate playoff contender and doing anything in the playoffs even if they do miraculously get it?
Well, Nick, you're going too far. We're just looking at them getting in. We're just looking at the schedules of the three teams who have the ability to get in there. From that conference, whether any of those three teams are going to make noise, and if San Diego runs the table or if Oakland runs the table, then, you know, potentially they could. But today, start of week 13, no.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a Raider fan by any means, as you probably could tell.
He's a Niners fan.
You know, but I am a Niners fan, and that's my twin brother in the background is a Raiders fan. But I hear all year long, you know, Super Bowl bound, this is our year.
We control our
defense. You know, but I look at it just from a standpoint of, their defense is awful, you know. Look what Simeon did, came in and torched them for 14 points. I mean, anyone that watched that Broncos game.
Are you guys interrupting?
Like
are you guys fighting? Like, I just, hey, man, can we all get along?
No, for real. We always do. You know, I just want to know what your guys take. Do you guys think they're a legitimate playoff team, or do you think they have a lot of holes?
No, well,
a ton.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Nick, we appreciate you, man, and we appreciate your brother, too, man. You guys are funny. Thanks for the call, and thank you so much for listening. A playoff threat, like a threat to get into the playoffs? Yeah, but a lot of that, again, as we outlined when we started this conversation, has to do with Kansas City.
Right.
And what they've done. A threat in the playoffs? Right now, at the start of week 13, no.
No, but that's the way football changes. Let's just take Kansas City, 5-0, best team in the NFL. The best. I don't think people debated it. They had the most balance. They were winning. That was a five-week sample. There's 5 weeks left of the season. If, and I wouldn't pick this to happen, but I promise you we would think differently of the Raiders if they won their final five games. I mean, we really would.
Absolutely.
It's like, wait, something's clicking. Well, maybe the run game. Maybe the defense was better. Carr's playing great. Then all of a sudden, are they hosting? People would be thinking they would be dangerous because they're peaking at the right time. Now, can any of those things happen? I don't know. And the only reason we're talking playoffs with them now is because the door's been left open.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Kansas City.
Yep.
Thank you, Kansas City, for that. But, you know, that I go back to that text that we got earlier. Football is a sport where it's one, you're in and out, one and done. That's what the playoff system is. You win and move on. And when you get hot at the right time, whether it's Green Bay, who won playoff games after running the table there in the regular season, or it's the Ravens, who won a Super Bowl, getting hot at the right time as a wild card, or it's the Giants, I think on two different occasions, got hot at the right time, got in as a wild card, and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's possible. And you don't think that in week 13, right? You don't think a team that's going to finish 10-6 that you know, gets hot the last 5 weeks of you're not thinking about them winning the Super Bowl, but you are if they win a wild card game.
Right.
Because that's just how the NFL works.
Yep.
It's a strange, strange place. Who's Tennessee targeting as their head coach? Apparently everybody. We got that. It looks like Herm Edwards is leaving TV. I'm a little bit upset about that. And Peyton Manning, we mentioned that. Is he returning to football? Where makes sense? Keep your texts coming here at 44-1140. Keep those phone calls coming at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we got Nate Lundy joining us in 18 minutes here on The Lowdown. Nate Lundy joins us here on The Lowdown. And just about 14 minutes or so. Start texting your fantasy questions here in just a little bit. Lots of text here at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Is Tiger back?
Yeah, literally he is.
Of course Tiger shot a 69.
Yes, he did.
Where was that on the leaderboard?
Second? No, it ended up because he dropped a stroke late. But there's out of 18, he's near the top. There's only 18 people.
Well, that's the same. I think we determined it's the same tournament he did. The same, I guess, tournament. It's the same four rounds he did last year.
It's technically eighth.
Oh, eighth? Oh, geez. All right. But he's
leader
69.
Leader was six under, yeah. And he was three under.
Did he shoot 69 on purpose?
Probably.
All right. In the most Tiger comeback move ever.
Yeah.
No, no. Now, this is a, hey, Tiger is back.
Yes, he is. See?
That Tiger Woods is back.
I'm rooting for it.
Finish all 4 days.
Yep.
And that's a success.
And play in the tournaments you're supposed to next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Right.
Every bit of Tiger news is news.
Yes.
I don't know. Are we collectively just so desperate for him to be what he once was?
Probably, but I think you have to, you don't have to acknowledge that. I mean, his attempt, I know we had talked about whether he was done. I said, well, until I hear him say, I mean, he may never be the same golfer, but I think that same talent / drive is always in him. But I don't know that we'll ever see. I'm pretty sure we'll never see where he once was, just that domination. But according to a few people that have been playing with him, they said this is the best version they've seen from him in a long time. Now, whatever that means.
Yeah, and
is that a guy coming back? Hey, Dwayne Wade scored 30 tonight. Okay, he had two the next game. I mean, is he?
Right. So no, it would be more adequate to, hey, Dwayne Wade scored 30 tonight, and he rested the next game.
Yeah, and he's going to be out for a week.
He couldn't read that. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think Tiger will be capable of good rounds. Most important for him right now is to stay healthy.
Play tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, I'll start. I'm watching. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
I see. Like, okay, cool. Just tell me that he finishes tomorrow.
Right.
Even if he shoots a 77. He finished. Okay. Check the quotes. Pain-free. All right, cool. Get through the four, yeah. And then we'll go from there.
And I know there are plenty of people that have the fatigue of Tiger. And always, it feels a little bit like Brett Favre's retirement. Is he retiring? Is he coming back? Is he retired? What is this? You've told me he's back 8 times. But I promise you, if there is a major next year and he's in the hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
That is must-see TV, and people will be watching.
The world will stop.
It'll be a big deal.
Yeah, Tiger.
Now, it may never happen, but if it does, it'll be a big deal.
Here's some college stuff. Rick Pitino, as expected, has sued the University of Louisville.
Why?
Saying they had no just cause to fire him. He is seeking $36,600,000 and I can't even, it's too high. He's seeking $36.6 million.
How do you get to that number? 35 didn't work, but there also is more.
Well, there's $36,609,500.
You get to that number by being a terrible human being.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Shouldn't it be lower? Like do you really get rewarded for being a terrible human being with $36 million?
They didn't have just cause.
That's absolutely insane to think about.
Totally.
You're a terrible human being, so just because of that, you're gone. Nailed it.
I would like to submit my case. You're a terrible human being. Just cause. Done.
Oh, man. Hopefully he had a better lawyer than that.
Or I mean, better agent. Yeah, well.
Amazing. $36 million. There's no way he's going to win that. Absolutely no way. And I'm surprised. That tweet there from Darren Revelle says, as expected. But I'm surprised he's doing it. Because do you know? We know of Rick Pitino scandals.
Yes.
What do you think we don't know?
Exactly. And what lawyer is he? You know, Johnny Cochran's not walking through that door.
No, I can confirm that. Yeah. Oh, this could get. I don't know if his legacy. I know people hate that word. If it's tarnished,
it has to be.
Is it though?
Yes.
I mean, there's something attached to it, but is it really tarnished? Like, okay, maybe tarnished isn't. It's not destroyed. His legacy isn't destroyed.
Okay.
This could destroy. This could destroy every. This could destroy all of it
because it's going to open up everything.
Right. everything.
So he really wants to do that?
Exactly.
For that money?
Exactly.
He's got money.
And we're talking just during his time at Louisville. That's all Louisville has to do. Or perhaps just back to the time that they signed him to this original contract. Or not the original contract, the contract that he's on now. I don't see this going well for
him.
And
I got to believe his lawyer team would know that. So he is content. If they do, he is content with saying, I don't care if all the skeletons get out. I just want the money.
He is one arrogant son of a you-know-what, man.
Is he doing this to try and get a settlement for just some money?
Because
they can't go to court, right?
If you're Rick Pitino,
yeah.
No. Like, you do not want this in court. But Rick Pitino doesn't need this.
What's he doing it for?
Is this a save face move? Is this hey, look what you guys did. This was wrong. I'm going after my $36 million. Oh, look, we settled for 15. And then he can come out and say, it was never about the money.
It will be an undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah. And that's what he'll say. Oh, it was never about the money.
And it was never proven.
I needed to prove. I didn't do anything, guys. And they did that, you know, he did an interview with it was Jay Billis. And God bless Jay Billis. He's a lawyer. Come on. No. Put Pitino out there in a live interview, because that was taped. Put him in a live interview with Dan Patrick. Someone who's going to ask him questions. Jay Billis, you know, he asked him, but, you know, okay, Jason, I'm going to ask you this, and it's going to be painful, but I want you to tell me. Like, no, man, have somebody ask him the questions.
Yeah.
And so I got nothing. I'm going to tell you, it's these kids. I miss them so much, and it was just so absurd. It was so absurd.
Well, go chase that money, Rick.
Yeah. This is going to destroy him.
Yeah.
If this actually goes through, this is going to destroy him. And I'm fine with it. Couldn't happen to a nicer human being. Herm Edwards is going back to college. It looks like he's going to be the guy to get Arizona State?
Yeah, apparently, job. I'm reading about this. He's got a good connection with the AD there because, I mean, Herm's been out of it for a while. And I've heard
2008.
And he'd been talking about, no, I don't, why? Why get back in that grind? I don't need to do that. And this is different. Now this is college. It's a whole different. The season's not as long, but it's, you know, we just had Jody Sears on last hour. It's about recruiting, making those relationships. Well, he is charming. I mean, he's a great personality. Oh, yeah. I think he'll be able to recruit. What kind of a coach will he be at the college level in a pretty difficult conference? So it's a tough job at ASU.
And he's going to be competing for recruits with your boy.
Chip.
Yeah, Chipper. Your school. Can you imagine being a Pac-12 recruit now? You got Chip Kelly and Herm Edwards walking through your living room door all of a sudden.
And then crazy Mike Leach showing up.
Oh, my goodness, Mike Leach. Oh, for the what is a recruiting visit like with Mike Leach?
I know.
I imagine it's got to be something along the lines of Chuck Pagano's press conference the other day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It has to be like that.
Got those Nor'easters.
Coming from Africa.
Yeah.
I was destined. We're never going to talk about Peyton Manning. So who cares? We got fantasy football to talk about.
Omaha.
Nate Lundy. That's as close as we're going to get. Nate Lundy, Fantasy Football Hour. Our fantasy football expert. He joins us now. Get us your questions. 44-1140 on the text line. He joins us in 4 minutes.